Hi, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing, Super Moms? It's going to be a super quick intro.
Yes.
Just because I'm packing for Josh Retreat. I have no idea how much stuff I need to take. And I don't know where you are. I didn't even know that you were traveling. Thanks for letting me know.
I'm in a truck. I'm in Tijuana with the kids in the back of the car.
Why?
We came to drop off some stuff for Oaxaca.
Oh, fun. Okay. Hi, everyone. Paulina Bricia. We love you, Super Mamas.
Yes. Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood. These are your favorite hosts, Bricia and me, Paulina Lopez. I hope everybody had a fantastic Easter weekend. We're still going on our vacation. We're in the middle of things. So yeah, welcome, guys.
Who do we have on the show today?
Today on the show, we have twin sisters Sarah and Boo Sims, who are the culinary and creative duo behind Lady & Larder, the Los Angeles-based cheese shop credited with starting a global grazing board movement in 2016. The two have deep roots in the California hospitality industry and both share extensive backgrounds in the food and beverage industry. Sarah on the culinary and operations side and Boo in design and marketing. Raised under the notion that the dinner table was and still is a sacred place, Sarah and Boo maintain that the only thing bigger than their love for food is sharing it with others.
I actually am glad we don't have a long intro for this show because I want all the moms to just hear both of these sisters.
Yeah.
Puts our sisterhood to shame. Let me just say that. I love this episode. You guys are going to love it. Without further ado, here is our episode with Boo and Sarah of Lady & Larder.
All right, ladies, we will see you soon. Stay tuned after the interview for our Super Mama pick or tip of the week.
Sarah and Boo, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How are you, ladies?
So good. Thanks for having us.
This is so cool.
I love you both on the screen. Like, I love you both so much. For those of you who don't know who you are, can you please introduce yourself? Tell us who both of you are, what you do, who do you live with? Tell us just like the basics. And also, like, what's your Starbucks order? Because I want to know what you guys are drinking.
Oh, it's a new order. We'll tell you all about it. Okay. You go first. My name is Boo Sims, and I am Sarah's twin sister. I was born second. We're identical twins, mirror twins, which is a weird thing. Can get into later. I live with my partner, Sean, and we have a 9-month-old baby girl named Mavis, and we have a baby on the way, another baby girl due in August.
Congratulations.
We're about to be 4, which is very exciting and kind of scary all at one time, but I'm ready to live. I live in Long Beach. We bought a house in Long Beach last year in Wrigley, which is one of like the older neighborhoods in Long Beach. And I co-founded Lady & Larder with Sarah.
Yeah. And I'm Sarah, the other half. I have a 5-year-old son named Maverick and a husband who we've been together about 15 years now.
Oh, wow.
Time. Wow.
And we live here.
Time to get a new one. I'm just kidding.
I know. The other day, I'm like, how many years is this?
You don't even feel it, though. You don't even feel it.
No.
It's just, it's weird, right? You don't even feel it.
Like, blur. Fun blur.
Yeah.
And I live in Mar Vista, just very close to where our shop is in Santa Monica. And yeah, I'm the other half of Lady & Larder. Lady & Larder is like, we always describe it as our little dream shop. It's a small cheese shop here in Santa Monica on the west side. We used to be up on Sawtelle, and now we're like Santa Monica proper, Pico and Lincoln kind of area. And we'll be 6 years old on May 1st.
Well, congratulations. It's the same age as the podcast.
Wow. Congratulations.
Woo! Isn't it crazy like how much you can do in 6 years when you think about it? Like, I feel like sometimes, you know, women who are in business or either people who are not in business who have a dream, a project, they want to do everything and like, oh, I'm going to do this. And like, it doesn't come fast enough. And then they get frustrated. And then you go back and you're like, it's been 6 effing years. Like, this is how long things take to happen. And this is just, and you're barely scratching the surface.
Getting started.
You're barely scratching the surface because I want to see your crackers like everywhere. Like I'm ready to see those crackers all over the country and every grocery store in the world. That's what I see for you. That's what I'm manifesting for you.
Wow. Well, that'd be pretty crackers. There needs to be some more pink and orange in the cracker area.
I don't know if that's what you want, but this is what I want for you.
Like we love like old school slow growth. I took a consulting call the other day with someone that just wanted like to talk about, they were in a startup phase of their company. And they were like, well, how do I get an Instagram following? How do I like, you know, and I just started laughing. I'm like, literally, we've never spent a penny on it. The way to really do it proper is the only authentic way is word of mouth and slow. Like there's no secret to it. It's authenticity. It's slow. Like we're 6 years in and I'm like, look at our accounts. Like it's not as big as other people's accounts, but every person that follows us is an authentic fan. Someone like, I tend to think that we're slower to build, but that the customers that we build really trust us. And that's more important than...
And they're not all on Instagram. I mean, Instagram.
No, that's just like a piece of the customer base. But I tend to feel like our general base of people that are fans of Lady and Larder are people that like to talk about it, like to share and genuinely engage with us on like a personal level and a brand level. And there's no quick way to do that. It's like building trust over time.
100%. And I think a lot of people don't account for the years of development and like... I don't think just 6 years ago we like started a business, like figured out like we had so many jobs and careers and things like leading up to that point. And so I think it's like this accumulation of all the experiences you have and the learnings from all these, like, you know, I think back to my first job, like we had our first jobs, what, at like 13, 14. I remember having to get permits from school and permission from my mom so that we could work. Cause we just went, as soon as we realized you could like get a paycheck and make your own
buy
money.
Clothes.
That's awesome.
Where did you guys work? What was your first job?
I remember we worked at a burger place called RG Burgers,
which stood for really good burgers.
And we made like the milkshakes, which were like hand scooped, and we got to handle the register, which felt like our childhood dream.
To Nadeem and Nabil, the brothers who own the place, they were the best. Like they taught us that when you put money in a cash register, all the bills should face the same direction. They taught us how to make the best milkshake in all the land,
be on time for work, and just a lot of like the basic stuff as a kid you don't even like think about. And and then we've always had jobs since then. I think like from every single experience, you learn something that you eventually someday when you're ready to do something else on your own, like
we call it adding to the toolbox. You don't know sometimes why you're in this job or this
or
point
like
in your
making
life.
Making this mistake.
But and then always just like do any job you're in to the best of your ability and never burn a bridge. And then each job you leave, you like pick up 4 or 5 tools, right? And your toolbox just keeps getting like more layered and more layered. And then one day you're like, I know how to do a lot of things.
Yeah. Like it's so funny. Like you get to a point, like I've been doing like my specific job in marketing and in design for like 15 years at a pretty high level. And like, sometimes people ask you a question. You ever had it happen where you like answer and you're like, oh my God, I know what I'm talking about. Like, you don't realize all of a sudden, I don't know, I feel like a kid sometimes in my head. Like every day, I'm like,
right? And I'm like, how are we in charge of other humans?
How am I an adult right now? Like every time I pay my taxes or do anything, I just like, this feels very adult. Buying a house felt really real, like a lot of things. And I don't know. I remember being a kid and thinking like, oh, when you get to your 30s, like they've got it all figured out.
No one knows what they're doing.
You just don't. You just,
hey, we're all just out here like swinging our ass.
I'm always wondering, like, you know, what is that age where I'm gonna like feel like I got it together? And I'm like, it's just nothing keeps happening. I feel the same way. I'm like, this is very adult-like. I feel like I'm such an adult. I'm like, is this real? Like, do I really have kids? Like, am I really in charge of like 3 humans? This is very surreal. Cause when you're little, you look at people our age and you thought, hey, like they're so wise, you know, they're already so old. And why I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
100%. We have an older sister. And I remember when she got married, she was like 28. When they got married. And I remember thinking like at 28, like that's when I'm going to have it all figured out. And then when I got to 28, I was like, oh my God, I have no idea what I'm doing with my life. I feel like a disaster. And I still have days where I wake up and I'm like, am I doing the right thing? Like, am I putting the right energy with all the right stuff? But I think having kids has definitely helped, like, at least for me, like for perspective. And you feel like, okay, so my greater purpose in certain ways, like, I don't know, certain things don't matter as much as
no, and you realize that
little lives do. And
I don't know if you two feel this way, but tell me if I'm wrong or if you have a different perspective on this. Like, as I get older, I never feel like I know. I always feel like there's so much more to know and so much more to learn every day. So my general goal is just to be like more patient and listen better. But I find that as I get older, what I get better at is being less reactive and more responsive as a person and as an owner. Mm-hmm. And when you're younger, everything's just so yes. reactive, right? And
then especially us. We're like Sagittarius, fire sign. Like,
it's like the only thing reactive. I feel like each year I get a little better at. I'm like, oh, I'm better at responding and being less reactive about it and being more of like this responsive person who still doesn't know anything and is still figuring it out every day. But I'm like slightly better at how I handle situations.
I think the thing kind of helps 100%. With that too, because even more so than being in a relationship with somebody, like I have a tiny baby, but when I look at her, like I just want her to be proud of me. Like I think about it all the time. Like I get so emotional mm-hmm. thinking about it. But like when I make decisions throughout my day, throughout anything, I'm like, what would Mavis think if she ever found out I did this? Like, what's the right thing to do here so that my kid is like proud of the decision that I'm making as a parent? And so I think it just like puts things into a weird, good perspective. And it also makes everything else feel less, not less important, but like less central. Like it all feels like a bonus outside of like having like a healthy kid and your family and all those things. Like everything else just feels extra.
How did you both decide to work together? Because yeah. you see, people ask us this question all the time because I work with my siblings too. Well, obviously Paulina too. She's my sister. She's my sister. But like, I feel like her and I and my brother, we were forced into it because my dad always, since we were small, my dad always looked at us like his business partners, his little business people.
Yeah.
And would come to us like to ask for advice. And I was like 12. Like, so what do you think we should do with these taxes? And I'm like, I'm 12. Just because I know how to speak English, dad, doesn't mean I know the tax law. So that was, yeah. you know, we were forced. But you two just did it on your own. Like, how did you decide to go and business together?
How did you guys decide?
And how did it start?
I think that we always, it's interesting because especially as twins, like we tried to, you go through a period where you like try to kind of like define yourself separately because you like share a room growing up and then you're sharing birthdays and like people kind of group you together automatically. So like.
Did your parents oh, dress
yeah.
you the
yeah,
same
but my
too?
My parents also had to dress ourselves, you know, like there was definitely a lot of matching. But I think you go through a period where you definitely try to like, who am I? And like, how are we different? And then you kind of realize like, obviously we're very different people, but at our core, like we kind of fill in the blank for each other a little bit on there's certain things Sarah's stronger with than I am. And we went to the same college, but we like majored in different things.
I feel like a more whole version of myself when I'm with her. When I'm by myself, I feel lacking.
Mm-hmm. I really think stop, to I'm gonna
a point
cry.
Where we're like, oh, together we're this like, we're well, a more well-rounded version.
And I think with all siblings, just like with being with a really good friend, I assume. Like,
Paulina, that's how I feel about you, just FYI.
Exactly. Every day, sister. If you're not near me, I feel incomplete.
I do. I feel, I had like a lot of anxiety in college when I started going to parties by myself. And I realized because I never went anywhere by myself. Boo was always with me. Everywhere I went.
Yeah.
You have still to this day prefer to be with me everywhere I go.
I think that the other thing that's great though in business, and we kind of realized this, I think earlier on with separate projects, because we'd always like call each other and ask advice or like run things by each other. Like, what do you think of this? You know? And and we kind of naturally started doing projects together. I think I helped Sarah with her wedding.
That was our first big project,
which was like an actual like collaboration where we both were kind of like working on this really big project. And I remember it got picked up by a magazine and then we started getting asked to do like more of these things, like kind of events together. And so it was really natural for us because we both handled like totally different parts of it. Like Sarah's always been the more culinary side of things. And then I'm the more the art or the design side of things. And so we kind of both bring something different to the table. But what's really nice is like you kind of cut through the sugarcoating. And that's really been beneficial, I think, in work and in professional life for us, is that you don't feel the need to like, with siblings, you just kind of are a little more raw.
Not a little more. Really raw, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's shit.
It's not really like an HR approved method at all times. You know, kind of like, I think you can do better than that. And I don't think, you know, or the, like, you know, we push each other, I think, a little more than you would a stranger
person. Yeah.
Which is which is, it's really great for us because I think we get to the bottom of things faster and we can kind of, so we're constantly learning like also how to separate that and make sure that we're
professional.
Not only professional, but like that we're, we remember that we're both like, getting you have shit a lot done. Going on too. And you're trying really hard. And sometimes like,
well, you know, your siblings intimately, right? So like we know each other's weak spots. We know each other's strengths. So when we're in conversation and when we're working through something, you're trying to make sure that you don't stab at weak spots.
Like you're
but you
sibling.
Know they're there. Yeah, because siblings tend to reach for those spots quickly, right? Because you know they're there and you want to expose them. It's like elbowing each other in the backseat as kids in the car, right? So what we try to do is like be really honest with each other. And a lot of times when there's a conversation, it's like, are you looking just to be heard, or are you looking for feedback? And if you ask that up front, then you're like, I make sure she's in a place where like we're in a comfortable place to have that. Like, are you just wanting to vent right now? Because if you're right wanting to vent, like go for it, unload, you know? If you're looking for actual feedback because you're looking for solutions, then I have a different way we can approach this. But sometimes, like, you know, you'd
wow.
The call, and like one of us would like just, I just would put a collar on like a Saturday, yeah. And Sarah would like in the middle of me talking about like my personal life, she'd start like unloading a work thing. And I'm like, dude, it's Saturday for me. Like, I'm not on the clock. I don't really want to talk about that. And so we'd like have these conversations where we'd butt heads because we both address things totally differently. Yes. Like Sarah's a much more like, I just want to do it right now, yes. And get it out of the way. And I have to like schedule time, mm-hmm. to sit and like wrap my head around things. Like I'm not as quick to like dive into a deep conversation. I have to categorize like everything in my brain so that I can kind of like be present for whatever's happening. And so
I just never stop.
And she just like is this. Both, yeah. Like different, like again, like work lives and careers where Sarah worked for someone where she was on call like 24 hours a day and
so
had to really like,
to that, yeah.
She thought like that's normally like, I'm like, you're a weird response time. Like people don't just fire off 30 seconds after an email. Like you can sit with it for a minute, you know?
That, oh my God, that's so funny because I feel like it's the same way with my sister and I. My sister's like, I don't understand why people don't respond right. I'm like, because Brisa, people are not waiting for you to text them 24/7.
Sure,
yeah,
they are.
Exactly. And so I came from a more like, background where it's like a 9-to-5. I'm not sitting in front of my email all day. Like I have certain blocks of the day I sit and respond to email, but I'm not going to like sit on my phone whenever you ping me and like respond to like a complex question, you know, like, so we both just have different ways. So we've learned like we have just really open conversations about it. And so it's taken years to kind of, and we're still figuring it out. Like we still don't always know, but we've definitely gotten a lot better at like work time versus non-work time. I mean, it all blends together. Like when you have a business is your personal life and your personal life. I mean, Maverick was, yes. Just up here running around. Where,
like, he was like, I'm very busy today in my office.
Yeah. So like, you know, you're just doing, family runs together, like everything blends together. And it's also kind of the best part, I think, of having a business together is that we get to share all the like highs and lows of all the things kind of together. And it makes all the victories, I feel like, much, I don't know, sweeter when it's like with somebody that you love and it's something that we both know how important it is to both of us. So
yeah, I feel because also you guys all have the same love for the project, right? It's different when you have people that work with you because every, you know, they may have different goals at the end of the day. But when it's like family, like, you know, when it comes to like my siblings and I know that we all like have the passion for what we do because it's family. It's a family legacy. It's everything. So we all put 100% in it, right? It just feels different when you work with your siblings. I remember when we first met a few already months ago, and I heard Sarah's story, and it impacted me so much. I remember after she spoke, I was like, "You need to write a book about this," because it was. I have a note on my phone of like a bunch of things that you said that I just wrote down because sometimes I just need to read them to myself. And I just felt like you were so inspirational that day. Like you really moved me. And, you know, just to realize that you are sisters and you work together and you're twins and all of that. I would love to, one, you know, if you can share the story with the Super Mamas. And two, I would love to hear your side on how you handled it as a sister and how you know, we're there for each other. And, you know, I think that's one of the hardest things to go through as just period. And like, as a family, I'm sure, you know, as a twin, it must have been so hard on both of you. So I would just love to see, cause I think it's inspirational in so many levels. One, after that, every time I go to the doctor, I fight harder. Every time I go to the doctor, I have notes on me And I just think it's so important. Something happened to my husband too. He had like an ear infection and he went to the urgent care and he came back and he didn't get any better. And he actually wrote a whole letter and called Kaiser and they actually responded. They sent us a huge letter of apologies. They gave him money back. I was like, I didn't even know we could do this. But a lot of people don't think that they can. And it was after I shared your story. So I would just love to hear a little bit more.
Yeah, I feel like I'll tell the quick version of the story, but it's incredible that you took that away from that and you realize that for some reason we just like innately trust doctors, and it's not that doctors shouldn't be trusted, but they're humans too, right?
And the healthcare
system is definitely controlled by big pharma, and there's a lot of money.
System,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so no one's advocating for you.
Yeah, like you go into the system ready to self-advocate for yourself. Like I think of the healthcare system as like a factory with a conveyor belt. So like when you enter the factory, you just get put on this conveyor belt and then you just start going through the system. So I tell everyone that this, I feel like the greatest success to, you know, how we did with this whole cancer diagnosis is that I treated my medical team like I did my business. I literally ran my medical team the same way I ran my business, which is like lots of accountability.
Ask questions.
Lots of questions. Lots of how can we do better? Mm-hmm. Lots of turning over every leaf. And when I get an answer, I ask, you know, three questions beyond that answer. And then I get a second and a third opinion. And we do that in our business all the time, right?
And every penny you spend, like every bill you get, you double check. Like I called non-related to cancer, but quickly for blood work that I did, which should have been included. So I get this, normally would have paid the bill, right? Came in the mail. It was like $500. I'm thinking like, what? Like it's maternity stuff. I spent 2 hours on the phone last Friday and come to find out like the person at LabCorp didn't put a code in correctly. And so I end up getting a bill that I normally would have paid before all of this had happened. And by just working through it and staying on the hold and like getting through, I figured out like somebody had made a mistake coding. I had my insurance pulled up. I logged into my Aetna. I was like, this should all be covered under my pregnancy. Like this is all prenatal and ended up being just an error. I'm thinking like, I would have paid you $500. Like
we just have to check. It's all just,
it's like calling, it's like you're, it's because like it's the same thing as when you get a letter from the IRS. I'm like, oh, I gotta get on the letter on the phone with the IRS. It's like hours of my day. Yeah.
But we just remember that like when it's your health, nobody knows you like you do, right? We know, and we live during this time where we've all just gone through this pandemic, and my diagnosis happened in the middle of the pandemic. Everyone has higher stress levels, higher anxiety. So there's a lot of medical gaslighting happening where people are going in and just being told, when I went into the ER telling them I had COVID the first time I had COVID, they literally, the doctor was like, oh, that's just your chest is tight because you have anxiety. I was like, No, I have COVID. And then I did have COVID, but I was literally told I was just having anxiety. So that is a lot of what we're seeing out there. And you just have to know that like you are the only one that knows you, you know, your body the most. So if you know something is wrong, say something and just keep going until you get an answer. And in my case, I kept waking up in the middle of the night. This was like a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, with this tingling down my left arm. And I kept, at first I thought I'm sleeping on my arm weird. And it's my left hand, which is my knife hand. I've been like working in kitchens for over a decade. So maybe it's just like, I'm getting old, like carpal tunnel. I've gone through all these things of like, why am I having this tingling in my arm? And it didn't go away. Every couple nights I'd wake up with the shooting pain down the left arm and then it kind of like dissipate and I'd go back to sleep. This happened for maybe like 2 months. I'm religious with our chiropractor. So I went to him and I was like, you know, I think I have a pinched nerve. Maybe it's in the shoulder blades. Like it's causing some sort of like situation in my hand, and just kept exhausting like all my normal avenues. And then I came home one day and I remember saying to my husband, like, something's definitely wrong. And I need to get like an internal scan, but you can't just walk in and ask for a scan. You need a referral to do that. Right. So
which is kind of crazy. Cause I'm like, shouldn't everybody get an internal scan once a year to make sure you're okay?
I basically asked a doctor that at one point, and he was like, if we did that, the system would be overrun. Like we don't have the capacity.
That's scary.
It's terrifying. Right. So I
remember at that point you came home and you're like, can you just feel, because like we do this with each other all the time, and when you like have something on your back or something weird, you're like, can you just like look at this or like feel this weird thing or like, is there something?
Or check this freckle or whatever.
She was like having me feel her armpits, and I remember being like, ew, I don't want to touch your armpits. I don't know. For me, I get like weird lymph nodes sometimes like during my period or like.
When your body's fighting anything.
Yeah. Like, so it didn't feel like something I hadn't felt before, but it was like, it was definitely like firm on one side. Like there was definitely something going on.
Like your armpit should be soft and fleshy. And mine was like, when I felt in where those lymph nodes are, it was hard. And I thought, that's not normal. And it lasted. And that with the weird tingling and pain, I was like, this is just not, something is not right. So I call my OBGYN thinking like, I don't know, armpit's kind of considered upper breast tissue. Maybe I can get a referral to get a mammogram. And maybe get some connected. Sort of, like, maybe I'll just start there. So I call my doctor, and of course she had retired during COVID. I call the woman at the, who's like still answering for like transferring files. She goes, oh, she moved out of the country. She's retired. Well, are you referring to anyone? No, we're not. So I'm like, okay. So start ground zero. I end up calling the like amazing women over at Kind Body. I don't know if you've heard of them. They have a couple locations in LA. They're like fertility OBGYN experts. They're super cool. It's like the chicest, coolest group of women. And I just said, I just want to get a well woman exam. Like, I haven't had my pap smear. Mm-hmm. It's been COVID. I've been a doctor. Can I just like make an appointment to come get it just a checkup? A week later, I'm on the table for the checkup. And, you know, she's giving me the breast exam laying down. And I said, can you feel this armpit? Something doesn't feel right. And the nurse gave me the exam and said, it feels completely fine to me. And I said, okay, I appreciate that feedback. However, I really think that I need to get a mammogram. And she said, you're not 40 yet. At that time, I was 35. And she said, but if you know, if this is really bothering you, like so that you feel better, I will write you a note and I'll get you, you know, a referral so that you can go get a mammogram. And I said, I would be really, really grateful. Thank you so much. And she wrote me a referral for a mammogram place that I made an appointment at just for like a general mammogram.
And if you don't have a history of breast cancer in your family, or if you're under 40, you don't, it's really hard to get those, right?
Like
you,
it's not covered a lot of the time. So we just don't recommend mammograms until you're 40 if you have no pre-existing family history of breast cancer. So I went into, not knowing all of that, I went into the mammogram clinic and really honestly answered, I have no family history and I'm under 40. And she said, well, I don't think your insurance is going to cover it. You're going to have to pay cash up front today. And in my mind, I'm thinking like, what if I didn't have the cash? Mm-hmm. A lot of women don't. And I give her cash and I go back in and I'm having the mammogram done and I'm sitting in the room. You're like alone with the tech. It's like, if you haven't had one, it's like very awkward, like smashing your boobs to get these pictures in a machine. And I just said to her, you know, the nurse at Kind Body had said to me, is said, because you're younger, your breast tissue is thicker. And, you know, if they have any issues when you're in there, they always keep a sonogram tech in the building and you can ask for the sonogram tech to come in like manually and they can see things maybe that the machine can't. And I was so grateful for that tidbit because I get into the room and she's taking all the images and she really couldn't get, the highest she could get was like up. She couldn't really get into the armpit. She's like, I'm not seeing anything. I can't really get up there. And I said, well, I heard you have a tech here that can look with a different machine. And so that she, you know, she comes in to read the mammogram and she goes, mammogram's clear. And I was like, okay, but I still want to look at the lymph nodes in this armpit. Could you bring me in the room with the tech? So they, like, women roll me into the room. They're like, we're really busy today, kind of like huffy puffy about it. The tech comes in. She puts the gel on. She's looking at the lymph nodes. And she goes, yeah, those are bigger than normal on that side. But, you know, like, when did you get your vaccine? And we're seeing that lymph nodes get a little bit bigger. And, like, maybe that's your body's natural way of fighting stuff. And I was like, look. I'm laying on the table, all vulnerable, like topless. I know my body. I have been sick several times in my lifetime. I have never had a reaction in my lymph nodes like this. It has never lasted this long. It has never been this way before. So I really don't think this is a normal reaction. So I said, I'd like a biopsy. And she said, well, we're too busy today. We can't give you a biopsy. I said, well, then I'll come back. So they send me home and I come back 10 days later for the biopsy that they didn't want to give. And I'm on the table and the biopsy is like this little
insurance.
Thin. Like, so then again, they made me pay cash.
Insurance isn't covering any of it. Just the other scary part, like just put that to the side. Like this entire process, like if you don't have cash, you're kind of in trouble, right?
Because it's just, the system is very hard to get through, right? So then if you, a biopsy is this, where they take this like very long hollow needle and they go like straight through into your lymph nodes and take little clippings. And they take like five clippings that they're going to test to see if there's anything cancerous in those lymph nodes. So I'm on the table. She's taking the biopsy and the doctor's literally saying to me as she's taking the biopsy, this isn't going to be cancer. Cancer doesn't hurt. You're going to have to go find a sports medicine doctor. This is going to be something completely different.
And had your lab, your blood work had come back clean, dude.
Hadn't had like full panels of blood work yet. So she takes five samples. Less than 48 hours later, it was a 4 o'clock on a Monday. I get a phone call from the office and it's a different doctor who'd gotten the results. And she just picks up the phone and she opens with, I'm so sorry. And I was like, oh my, I literally just like, oh, my husband was sitting across the room and I felt like I couldn't speak. I was like, sorry for what? And she said, all five of the biopsies came back like 100% hit. You have lymphoma and you need to go see an oncologist immediately. And I just remember just going completely numb and then saying to her, that's cancer, right? Like lymphoma is a cancer. I was literally Googling lymphoma while I'm on the phone with her. Like, what? What are you saying that I have? Yeah. What? And I said, she goes, you know, call me back if you need to have a port put in. And I'm like, what's a port? What is that? And then I go, like, who do I go see? And she goes, I have a guy at Cedars that he's great. Like, here's his number. See if you can get in to see him. We'll send the lab results over to him. I hang up the phone. I call Cedars. And this doctor magically had a cancellation and like could get me in the next morning in under 12 hours. I walk into his office and sit down. And he's looking at the biopsy results. And before he opens the results, he goes, I'm going to do a blood panel. Let's look at your blood. Takes a full panel. So he sits down with me in the room and I was just like, shit, I was just shaking. I had been crying in the waiting room. I looked around. I'm the youngest person by 20 years in there. Everyone looks really sick.
Oh my God.
And I'm just thinking like, is this something I'm going to survive? Like, you don't know at what stage it is. And you know, nothing. It just feels like you're being someone's going to tell your destiny and you don't know what it is yet. And so I remember just like trying to look pulled together, but like not feeling pulled together. And sitting down in front of this guy and he puts my blood panel on a piece of paper in front of me and he says, your blood is perfect. I said, what do you mean? And he said, explain to me how you got here. Your blood is perfect. There's nothing wrong with your blood. Meaning that it wasn't showing in my blood yet. And this is the cancer of the blood. And it's my blood panels are still perfect. There's no deficiencies. Nothing's overreactive. And he goes, explain to me how you got here. And I explained the story. I said, five people told me nothing was wrong, but I know something's wrong. And he said, something's definitely wrong. I said, you have lymphoma. He said, we're going to get you in for a CAT scan. We're going to figure out if it's anywhere else. He said, this is survivable, but you know, we're going to have to, you're definitely going to need to do chemo and we're going to figure out a plan once we know like where else this is. And he's like, we're going to run a bunch of other tests too, because we don't know like what, there's several types of lymphoma. And he said, you know, let's get you in for a scan. Let's see what we're dealing with here. But he just like couldn't get over the fact that I showed up there because I didn't have what they call lymphoma. Usually you don't know you have it until you have what they call B symptoms. B symptoms are night sweats, rapid weight loss, loss of appetite. People end up in an emergency room with like a really high fever and then find out they have stage 4 lymphoma. Like there aren't, it's one of those things that's not normally symptomatic. I just happened to have large lymph nodes that were pinching on nerves in my arm that were sending shooting pain down my left arm in the middle of the night when I would lay on it. And that's not a normal symptom, but I knew something was off. So that's my point is like, there's textbook symptoms. And then there's like, we have these internal compasses in our body, right? And that's what we need to get really good at reading and knowing every day. Because as super moms and as business owners, and we're just so used to making ourselves last priority, right? So this was a huge lesson in like, I need to prioritize my health. I need to prioritize myself. I need to listen. Because I'm very used to like long hours, lots of pain working in kitchens. You just compartmentalize the pain and you just like roll through it. Like I'm very used to like every part of my body hurting in the morning and being like, as soon as I get going, we'll be cool. I'll just wear like different inserts today, right?
Yeah.
Kitchen work is hard and this business is like really grueling. So this was a big change up for me and like really listening intuitively to my body. And then we went and did the scan. We found out that it was stage 2. I also had cancer cells in the left side of my neck. So I had it on the left side of my body and my lymph nodes in my neck and my arm. Stage 2 means it's above your torso still. That's how they stage things if you're not familiar. If you cross below the midsection of the body and go into lower, that becomes stage 3. And if you're in a major organ, it turns into stage 4.
Like bone marrow or...
Yeah. And it wasn't in my marrow yet, which that's why it was a huge, it was a good sign that my blood looked so good because it was a sign that it hadn't gone there.
Which so a lot of people with this cancer, that's when they find out.
Yeah. You end up with a whole different game plan. But I did have this kind of wild card in that they take, they test for something called your Ki-67 score. And that is the score that tells you how quickly the cancer cells are multiplying in your body. So someone can have cancer growing in their body for 25 years. It's a very slow growth thing, right? So, you know, you can go 2 decades and not know you have cancer. In my case, the cancer had only been around a couple of months because my score came back. It's on a 100 scale and mine was 100 out of 100. It was like
rapidly.
The cancer was multiplying and growing at the fastest possible rate on the scale. So I went in for a second opinion. There's a lymphoma specialist at UCLA. And when I sat down in his office, that score had come back. And I remember walking in with, I took Boo with me to the appointment because I was like, I feel like in the first appointment, I just blacked out. Like, I don't even know what
he said.
I was
out of town the first appointment. I remember because I was up north and you're like, I'm like, do I need to drive back? And you're like, no, I'm going to go tomorrow. And then I was like, okay.
So she came to the second appointment and he looked at me and he said, you're going to start showing B symptoms within 5 to 7 days, most likely. I said, the port is like a surgical procedure where they put it either in your chest or an arm pick. And that's how you receive your chemo treatments. But you can't receive just like a straight IV of chemo. It'll like fry all of your veins in your arms. It's like too powerful. So if you're going to get any sort of long treatment, they put basically like a little under the surface. It's like this big rubber thing. And then it has a line that goes straight into your like aortic valve.
It's like
it goes into your heart.
Like a dime.
Yeah. It's like the size of a quarter. You know, the part where they pick it is like the size of a dime. And they surgically insert it into your chest. And that's where you get, they like put your chemo through there.
But like heart stops, so like this appointment, keep in mind, like we had only Googled this information and this cancer, there's like a million different kinds and varieties and types. So we're sitting and like, we had Googled a lot. Like I'm saying like, had
we
done
felt
a ton
prepared.
Of reading, felt prepared. And this is just a note for anyone that goes to a doctor, bring a friend or a family member with a notepad. I sat there like with my, I recorded the entire thing on my phone and thank God I did because
there's a lot of information.
We sat in that room and the four different people that came in and talked to us, I feel honest to God, like they were speaking a different language. I was just, our eyes were so big. And I remember I was asking him to repeat stuff because I didn't understand. Of course, we all have masks on. So, and he has a heavy
accent.
And he's
German. He's like a very thick German accent.
God bless. And even the nurses that came in, like they were speaking a million miles a minute. And this was like a language that is not easy to understand. And all I'm sitting there just thinking like, how does anybody know what you're saying? We just found out she has this. Can you explain it like in terms that someone who has never had cancer and has read what the internet offers, like can understand? Because these terms were like, I was like reading a medical journal. Like, it was just like, we kept having to stop
you
and be like, what does that mean?
Tell us what that means. Like, yeah, can you explain what that means?
And then they would have to stop and they still would explain it. And I'm like, you know, writing it down, like, look this up later type thing, you know? Because it was just like 4 hours of downloading information.
But the funniest part about it is that we were like, okay, so I'm going to get my surgery next week and then we'll start the treatment in 2 weeks. And I fully expected walking into his office that he was going to prescribe the same treatment plan as the first doctor. And I was just going to be like, I prefer to be treated on the west side. It's closer to work, like be picking location. And this doctor looked at me and was like, you're not starting in 2 weeks. You're moving your surgery to tomorrow and you start Monday. You don't have that kind of time.
What is he talking about?
Yeah, and then
we were
and we also
eggs.
We wanted to like save my eggs because the fertility doctor wanted 4 weeks to harvest eggs and he's like, you don't have 4 weeks. So that's off the table. And then
it's like a lot of decisions.
And then the first regimen was like 1 8-hour session of chemo on a Monday every 3 weeks. Which seemed very doable.
And which is the kind of like we know, we have family members and we know people that have gone through chemo and it's like, oh yeah,
okay.
You know, like the drip and we drop them off one day and it's a 1 day thing.
And you
like,
get it recovered.
That's kind of also what we had thought.
It's not going to get in the way of my schedule. Like I'll still have my schedule. Yeah. I'll still make that meeting.
I had a small discussion, like Coursera, like trying to keep it always work related. We're like on the way to the hospital or the doctor and she's like, well, we don't need to move the June opening. Like Lady and Larder can still stay on track. And I was like, shut up. Like nobody cares about the shop. Like, Just focus on your appointment today. And like, we'll figure out that later. But, so she's just like trying to, like, in her mind, like, this is going to keep, I'm going to be on schedule. I'll just do this on my day off.
Dr. Strape looks at us and goes, no, 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 we're not going to be doing 8-hour treatments. He goes, because it's replicating so fast, we want to hit it over a much larger. So basically the goal of chemo treatment is that, like, you're trying to hit the window in which the cancer cells are replicating so that you can catch them in the replication mode and kill them. And chemo is still something that is kind of like, I feel like in 5 or 10 years, we're going to, every 5 years, the cancer treatment is like so much more targeted. Chemo doesn't know the difference between good cells and bad cells. So chemo just kills all your cells, which is why you lose your hair, your lashes, and you feel like you're on the edge of death, because it takes everything out, just wipes the whole thing to get to the cancer. It doesn't know the difference.
And think of it like your hair cycles. Like, you know how there's like, you know, like 3 cycles of growth where you're like, there's constantly like, they're not all on like one schedule. And so they can... The replication, they don't know exactly where it's happening.
So they're trying to, but they know that if you have a highly replicating cancer, that if they do a longer, more intense treatment, that they have more chances of hitting it. So he goes, we're not going to be doing 8 hours once a week. He goes, we're going to do a 96-hour, 5-day straight situation. And at Cedars, that doctor, the only way to do it at Cedars is if you check into the hospital for a full week and they don't let you go home. And I was like, that's not going to fly for me. I can't. I want another option. And he said, well, a UCLA will give you chemo to go. And basically, like, they give you a fanny pack and a pump, and you can go out and just come in once a day to have your bag refilled with chemo, but you can go sleep at home.
And it's like 24-hour dosing. You sleep.
So instead of 8 hours, he was like, we're going to do 96 hours straight of treatment, and we're going to do 6 cycles of it. And it's also called, it was a dose adjusted, meaning that if you survive, like, each round, if your numbers hold, they just keep upping the dose. So gnarlier and gnarlier each round.
I remember him also saying, like, if we didn't do the more intense chemo, he's like, there's like a 50-50 we get in. And if we don't, like, you could get to the end and then we could be back where we started. And we're thinking, like, no.
50-50
like,
are not great odds for us.
Yeah, like, how do we get rid of it? Like, we don't want to end up in another stage of this. I don't know. It was, again, like, so much information. And it wasn't even, you know, my body. I'm sitting here thinking, like, how do you make all of these health decisions for yourself? And he needed decisions before you left the room that day. He needed her to sign off that she was okay, like, frying her eggs, but if she couldn't get pregnant after this, and we were okay starting this. And like, she's like, I'm gonna need you just to sign this paperwork, like, before you leave today. And we're like, you can't even call your husband. Like, can we have a minute? Like, it was just like a lot of decisions, and it all feels very rapid. Wow. And again, she's really good at doing this, like, for her kid or for her family or for her business. But all of a sudden it's like your body and your life. And it feels like it's kind of, you're stuck in the system, right? Like, where they're like, all right, you got to keep kind of like moving. Like, I don't know. It was, and again, I know how grateful you are. Like, we live in LA, we have access to UCLA and Cedars and all these amazing doctors and hospitals, which a lot of people don't.
A lot of people have to move their whole life and family to get treatment, right? Like, if you live in a state that doesn't have a specialist or a treatment area,
you're driving for hours.
LA has like some of the best doctors in the country, and multiple locations and options for treatment. I literally was able to, my main oncology office was 6 minutes from our new shop. So I was able, I missed half a day of work maybe.
You're a crazy person, but yeah.
But here's the deal. My family was like, Sarah, take some time off. And I took one day where I tried to stay at home and I just felt out of control. And it's like, if you can't control what's happening to you, at least I can go to my business and like be where I want to be and around the people I love and doing the work I care about. And that honestly, like, really kept me.
We realized very quickly, like, I remember Kelly, her husband, and I like sat down, and my older sister came and stayed with us for a few months, and we all kind of like got her organized. And there's like, you know, 24 medication, you know, all these medications, and you need a team of people, I feel like, just to kind of help, because you're not feeling 100%. And so we really wanted to make sure, okay, Sarah clearly wants to feel in control of this whole thing. And so we kind of like, I think everyone had a team talk. We all were going to just make sure she was okay. And if she wanted to sit at work and not, you know, feel tired at work, that's fine, but you're not going to lift anything. And like, you can sit here, but like, it was a lot of like trying to balance, making sure her mental health was good and aligned with her physical health. Cause most of the time I just wanted to be like, can you please go get into bed? Like, just lay down. Like, you don't look good. You look really sick to me. And she would just like, it would make her feel worse to be laying in bed and spinning. And so I think there was a lot of just like, and Sarah was very transparent, which was helpful too. I think it's so important to like communicate to your close family and friends. And she let me reach out in the beginning. I remember I'm like, is it okay if I like reach out to our close family and your friend circle and just let them know what's going on? And I'll write a little letter to everyone. I just want to make sure you have like support built in, because this is going to get like really ugly.
Well, and we live in the way that our lives are set up is that we're very much connected to our business. So this wasn't something that we could just like secretly go through. I'm going to lose all of my eyebrows, mm-hmm. all of my hair. And in the shop, people are going to see it. So like we realized that like we had built this trust with our staff and with our customers, and that really the only way to get through this was to be transparent about what we were dealing with. And
I felt really guilty. We ended up moving the shop opening date like a few weeks, because the first round, I remember she felt fine during the chemo. And then the 10 days after was just like, she was in a lot of pain and her whole body hurt. And I remember thinking like, and I was had a baby that came, I think, after your first
round.
The
day I finished my first round of chemo, Boo went into labor.
Oh my God, you were pregnant during this? Boo,
she
you were pregnant
during all that. Well, I remember because I took her to the emergency room after her first round. She called me and she said, my head feels like it's going to explode. Like something's wrong with my brain. And I was like, oh my God, I gotta go to the ER. So like I came and I drove and I'm at this 41 weeks, pregnant. And we walk into the ER and everyone's like, maternity's upstairs. And I'm like, we're not here for that. Not here for me. We're here for her. And so it was like a lot of that in the beginning. And then every doctor that kept seeing me like, ma'am, you're on the wrong floor. I'm like, I'm just here with the patient. Like, I'm not here for me, because I looked so pregnant. Like I was about to like explode. And then she came and helped deliver, I remember, in the hospital too. Yeah. And you were just feeling terrible. But I don't know. It was a really weird.
Wow.
It was a weird period. And I remember once we told everybody, it felt so much better, because then the amount of support that rolled in, and that's what I would say to anyone too, is like the vulnerability part is really hard, especially if you are normally really private and used to kind of putting, I think in business, especially as women, there can be this like expectation that like you have all your shit together, right? Like we have to look for like sure. we have it all together all the time. And like, I'm like looking at women, like, how do they juggle all that? There has to be a team of people there, right? Like there's no way you're doing all of this by yourself. And we aren't, like, no one's ever doing it by themselves.
There's a village.
Like, there are so many people that make it possible for us to be able to go to work and do all the things.
Yeah.
So as soon as Sarah kind of like opened that door and let, I think we put something public on Instagram that what was going on, the amount of support that rolled in was so beautiful.
I can't even talk about it without crying. It's just like, the amount of lives that cancer touches, it touches everyone. It touches every family in some way at some point. And the amount of support, the amount of I imagine this is what an athlete or a celebrity feels like. The amount of packages and mail and letters and just like gifts, thoughtful things that like people had been helpful in their family's treatment or from them, just like for months, things were arriving to the shop, to my home, from people that like sometimes people I didn't know. That just had like seen the story on Instagram or bought cheese at the shop. And we still have customers that like, if I'm working in the shop and they come in, like want to check in personally and hear about it, want to talk about it, want to share their story, their experience. And there aren't even words for how like lifted I felt by our community, my family. Our older sister literally left her family in Portland for 3 months and moved in with me. And made all of my
every appointment.
Fresh juices, my teas, my like special meals. She like made my calendars, my medication schedules.
That was the worst part, is that I had a newborn and I was like, I've never had a kid before. I don't know what I'm doing. Like I had a C-section, so I was like, couldn't get and drive her anywhere.
You had a C-section?
And so it was like, I just couldn't be there for her the way I wanted to be in the very beginning when she was like going through treatment. And so to have our sister that was able to, she has four kids. Like left them with her. Thank you, Ryan, her husband, who handled all four girls, and Charisse really helped both of us. I mean, she came and like helped me when she could, and then she'd drive back to Santa Monica and help you. And she was going kind of back and forth and helping a lot. And so it was really great.
It was wild. And at this point, I'm really proud to say I had my first 6-month scan and it was clear and clean.
Yay! Congratulations.
I feel better each day. There are so many, if anyone is listening to this and is either dealing with this, has questions. I have so many notes, so many contacts, so much information about what to do when you get diagnosed at this point that like, please, you guys have my email and like, we can put it in the podcast notes. Yeah. In the show notes, please put it in there. I am an open book because it is so scary. I think the biggest fear of the whole thing comes just from the unknown. You don't know how it's going to impact you.
Yeah.
There's such a spectrum with the treatment.
And no one can tell you when you ask the doctors, like, how I'm going to feel. They're like, well, it's different for everybody. Or like, you just get a lot of very open-ended, especially I think being younger and female too. Like there aren't a lot of examples or studies or data around results.
And also I think everyone right now is like, well, the shot and it's COVID. And have you had COVID before? It's probably because
yeah, so much of that.
Everyone dismisses.
So much of that. You just have to remember, if you don't miss your appointments, it's been COVID. We've like not done in-person stuff, but I'll say it. Please, please go get checked. Get screened, get checked. There are like free cancer screening websites. There are so many resources through American Cancer Society. Go onto the websites. You can go onto the American Cancer website, put in your age, and they'll tell you for your age what screens you should get this year. List, male, female, wow. Just go do it. Early detection is everything, because when you catch it early, you have actual options, you know, and then your options just get much smaller the longer that you wait.
Definitely. I think also it's cancer is such a scary word, right? I think, you know, when I think about our community, you know, the Latino community, people are so superstitious and put a lot of, you know, so they're like, I don't even want to talk about it. Like, we shouldn't even talk about it. No one should mention this, you know, and I find a lot of the times elders, you know, my mom, my aunts, like people, you know, my babysitter, everyone, they're like, oh yeah, you know, I've been having this pain for like 3 months. I'm like, and why haven't you gone to the doctor? Why haven't you go checked it? You know, my mom, you know, she's always like, oh yeah, I have this pain for like 5 years. I'm like, mom, how can you live like this? We all should have like a better, you know, to feel free of pain. I don't understand how you're living with this, whatever symptom it is, for years. And it just escalates. People, you know, I think, like you said, we leave ourselves at the end. We don't think about this. We think it's too scary. We just try to like put it away and in a box and not think about it. But it's super important to know what we need to do, and also know that we can speak for ourselves. We should be advocating for ourselves. We shouldn't just trust what people tell us. If you have, you know, we always talk about this on the show when it comes to our kids, that we know what's best for our kids, and we always fight for what we feel. But we should also do that for ourselves, because I feel like we don't do that enough. We just like, oh, I'm fine, I can just keep going. I don't have time to go to my appointment. I don't have time to go to my yearly physical. I don't have time for this. And we should make time, because you never know. And you never know. I think like now more and more, like, it doesn't matter where you age, you know, where you come from, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, things are happening to a lot of people and we don't understand why. So we should be really, you know, aware of all the symptoms that happen.
And it doesn't have to run in your family. I mean, we had this like false sense of security because we don't have cancer necessarily that runs in our family. And so in my mind, for sure, I remember thinking like, we're fine. Like, there's, you know, so much of it is genetic in a lot of ways, but it's not. Like, when you really look at it, it's not. And so I think you can create as many excuses as you want to, like, feel.
As a population, living at an all-time high stress level, right? And when your body is in stress mode and your cortisol levels are high, it's not able to do what it normally does. Your immune system is depleted, right? So when you're in stress mode, you're in fight or flight mode, which is like supposed to be a mode that you go into literally when you're being attacked, like historically as a human, right? So you're just like adrenaline pumping, and like, you're not really even digesting food properly. We're living constantly in such high stress levels as a population that our immune systems can't do what they're supposed to do, which is repair, repair, repair around the clock. When we're sleeping, that is our biggest repair mode. That is when your body like has a chance to like reset everything.
That's what you should share the learnings, because that was the biggest one for me. Like, I thought like I can handle like only a few hours of sleep every night and get it all done in one day. And I was doing the same thing as Sarah was, where we weren't sleeping very much and thought that that was okay. And that you could just like kind of like your body will adjust to it, right? How many hours of sleep you're getting every night. And then when we learned like, and kind of did that deep dive, like, oh, so when I go to sleep at 11 by 10 or 11, my body is going into repair mode. And if you skip that and stay up until 2 or 3 working or trying to get your stuff done, your body never goes into repair mode. And so you don't digest food properly. It doesn't fix broken cells or potential cancer cells. And so like that blew my mind. I was like, oh my God, we all need so much more sleep than like we're getting.
Cancer is not always something that is like genetic. It can be genetic and can run in your family, but a cancer cell is literally a cell that just like gets confused, basically.
We so all yourself, have them.
All day long as your body is repairing, like you get like a little cut or internal damage of some kind, your body's constantly replicating good cells. Cancer happens when you're one of the cells that replicates the wrong way. The map is wrong. And then it just keeps replicating the wrong way. And then it doesn't stop. And that is cancer. And that can happen in anyone's body at any time. With the right circumstances. Mm-hmm. And the right circumstances are when our stress levels are high, our immune systems are depleted. What, 80% of our immune system is in our gut. A lot of us are living with like gut issues, carrying around just like, you know, if you're not running optimally, your body, you know, we eat these diets that are like highly inflammatory. So it's just worth like taking the time, not just to do all those appointments, but like if you're having reactions to food you're eating, you're constantly bloated, you're not feeling well, go do a panel on food allergies and see if you're eating things that are causing heavy inflammatory responses in your body. Find out like how to get your body running as optimally as it can, because the more optimally that we're operating, the less of a chance that is a cancer cell have of like surviving.
And Brucia said, I forget which episode it was, but you've talked about it before where you're like, if you have to mother yourself, right? Like you can't mother anyone else until you've like mothered yourself and taken care of yourself. And that is what we should all like write on the wall, like have up somewhere, because it's, I don't know why, even like with working out or with anything, like it's so easy to be like, oh, well, like it just takes a back seat. And we don't realize like the benefits. They actually make us a stronger business owner and a stronger partner and a stronger parent if we can kind of set our foundation up and make sure our health is taken care of. Because
I need to follow both of you on Peloton. I think I'm following Brizia.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Paulina smokes me. She's crazy. Sarah and Boo,
thank you so much.
Yeah, Sarah and Boo, thank you endlessly for this. You have no idea how much knowledge empowerment you are delivering to our super mamas, and just thank you. Thank you so much. I was like, since we met you, we're like, we need to have them on the show. I'm so glad we finally got the time. Yes. You go back to being your badass selves. I love following you both on Instagram, like separately, and your business. I love what you all are doing. And I hope we can have you back on the show. I love you guys so much. And we need to do a girls get together with all the kids. And
that's too many kids.
Let me know when Boo's baby shower is.
We're working on it. I will keep you posted.
Please.
All right, ladies. Tell our listeners where they can find you guys, where they can follow your journey and share and ask you questions and blah, blah, blah.
Yes, at Lady and Larder is the place to always find us, the 24/7 cheese hotline, but also cancer hotline. Like anything, you got questions, we have answers. Or we'll at least share like what worked for us and what didn't. We don't have all the answers. We're still looking, but
yeah, and we can put all of our, we'll send you all the handles so you can put them into the episode, make it easier.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much, ladies. We love you. We love you both. We have to take a break now, and we're going to come back with a Supermom pick or tip of the week. We'll be right back. And we're back with our Supermom pick or tip of the week. That was amazing. I don't even know when they announced you for this. I mean, they just dropped like so many gems. I mean, my tip is going to be make your
physical.
That's what, or I think that should be your collaborative pick, and that's it. And my tip is go get your physical. My pick is going to be the Lady and Ardner crackers, which are incredible. They're sourdough crackers. I think you can order, I'm sure you can order them online on their site. Lady and Lardner, we'll link it on the show notes.
Well, mine is going to be just know that every insurance carrier has an patient advocacy office. I didn't know it existed. I only found out about after I heard her story, and we actually have used it recently. So if you guys have any questions, complain, please say something, speak up and let them know, because they can, you know, they should make things right for you. So that's my tip for this week.
Amazing.
Find it, figure it out.
Well, that's the show, ladies. We'll see you next
week. That is the show. Bye.
Bye. Hey sisters, thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram at @_supermamas and on Twitter, also @_supermamas, and in the face @supermamaspodcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your supermama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Calling to our hotline, 424-329-3707, and leave us a message or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love, and
see you next week, supermamas!